Look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's something some people probably don't like, the haka. And I always enjoyed it. I enjoyed the haka, and I used to love it as a kid growing up. I used to love watching it, and just it was intriguing for me.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
This is Off The Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Hello there. We've just done a brilliant interview with Argentine rugby legend Gus Pichot. Pichot stood unsuccessfully against Bill Beaumont to be the president of World Rugby the last time that the elections were held. This time he's not running for president, but he is running to become a member of the executive committee. The interview was really wide ranging. We talked about loads of stuff, the role of rugby in Argentina, how Argentina have turned themselves around financially as a union, the state of the game versus football in Argentina and the wider continent. But specifically, we're making this bit free to air because we think it's important in advance of the election tomorrow. We don't yet know who Argentina will be backing because, as Gus Pichot says here, they haven't seen the plans yet, which was pretty amazing. But he, we think, makes a fairly compelling case to be part of the future of rugby at whatever level. Enjoy. You've decided to go back for stand for election again to join the committee that runs World Rugby. You obviously feel like you still have a role to play in this, and that notwithstanding the fact that you stood for election previously, you have unfinished business.
Yes, I think it's more, again, like I told you guys, I think it's a big responsibility. I think the system will push me out, to be honest, and that's I can live proudly with it. Hopefully, I can, if I'm elected, I can positively disrupt on my way of thinking, because I truly love the game. I don't need to be on any position. I enjoyed my life playing rugby. I enjoyed my time with World Rugby, and I enjoy really working with Argentine Rugby Union and seeing how the team and the women team is going. So, but I still think, again, don't ask me if it's guilt or responsibility or everything together. Is I love the game too much, and it's not about the position or the royal boxes at all. I just genuinely love the game. I coach it for the last, when I retired from World Rugby, when I lost the election, I coach it the under 15th of my club, the under 18th, and the following year, the under 19th of an amateur club. I love the game and I feel responsible for the game because it made me who I am, successful in the game and successful in business. So, and I cannot stand not, at least not throwing my hat and be on the front line, even if people will decide that I'm too disruptive to be part of. And probably most of the people that would feel that are on the north, and that's fine. I'm good with that. My conscience is very clear. Don't worry. I can look at people in the eye. I can go to the stadium on Friday night and feel very relieved of what I'm trying to do with the game.
What are you trying to do with the game?
Well, as you see it in Argentina, we're trying to make it a pathway for people to play this sport and to just inspire generations and fans to just follow rugby. That's it. That's the whole. It's just more people playing the game and the professional game to be the pinnacle of that. And if you don't make it, then you have a place where you can go and enjoy it, or if not, go to your rugby club and just fulfill, be a coach, a manager, a referee, adopt whatever, but just stay on the ecosystem, keep on feeding, keep on growing. That's how I would love the sport to carry on.
At an international level, though, what do you think that World Rugby is getting wrong at the moment when it comes to helping Argentina or Portugal or Uruguay or Canada or whatever?
I think the two main things is the competition itself. And again, it's a question of who owns that. Is the Six Nations and Sansar that are doing the Nations Cup? Are we responsible for that? But what happens with the rest? How they link? So at the moment, it's very fragmented. And I think that's where we lost. And again, World Rugby lost the grip of the growth of the game. And we went very event-focused on, being successful with 27 teams on a Rugby World Cup. That's only a high. How do you make Chile better? And that's why we work in Argentina. We put a league where Chile can develop itself. If not, how do you expect Chile, or how do you expect someone to just show up on a World Cup without playing games? It's impossible. The distance is massive. So That's what we did with Argentina. That's why we want to bring again, as we did on my last, and that's why I wanted to run last time, not because I wanted to just be part of a system, just to sit down and enjoy the ride, just to do a positive change. But again, the game itself has to be much, much simple. We have 120 something laws. Football has 11 or 12, you know, and you have to simplify that. And not just meeting twice a year on a forum and discuss endlessly about it. It's the processes are too long. We need to simplify because we are not engaging young audiences. We are not.
How do you think rugby is alienating those young audiences? In what way? I'm talking about now, Gus, not just the progression plan overall for countries and nations to improve, but actually what's happening on the pitch in an international game of rugby now.
Okay, I ask you, do you think it's a simple game to referee?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so how do you expect a fan to understand then?
Go on.
So then you need to simplify things where you can simplify and stop arguing about 30 seconds of a scrum. How do we do better? How do we change? There are two aspects, and I'm telling you again, and that made me very good coaching 15-year-old, 16-year-old kids, okay? How complicated things are on the breakdown. The breakdown is a massive problem. And the offside line, there are two places where we need to make something out of it. How? There are much more intelligent people to simplify the game than what I do. But I'm sure that we need to do it, because if not, we are just bogged down on the details of speeding up a scrum or speeding up the kicker. We spent 3 years talking about that. What's the point of having a quicker throw-in into the line? Yeah, it helps, but it doesn't change the game itself. You look at the game, Ireland against New Zealand, an amazing setup. Everyone left that field, or everyone that was watching, that we love rugby. Forget about the ones that don't engage. The ones that love rugby said, what a poor game. What a boring game. So I'm imagine that somebody that is watching that never watched it before. I tell you, I give you a stupid example of Formula One. We all agree that Formula One is the most improved sport in the world in the last 10 years, correct? Do we agree that, correct?
Yeah, sure.
Like what they did with that, it's amazing. We have Colapinto there, a new racer that is racing for Williams. His number, he only did some couple of points, but he made a revolution in South America. Why? It's a very simple sport. And again, and with the complexities of the technological part of Formula One, correct? But at some stage, the narrative is very simple. I think the narrative of rugby should be much simpler. And people will kill me for this because let's keep everything the same, but just tweak a little bit. I think we need to simplify it. And I'm not talking about breaking everything. What I'm talking about, make more simple without changing the core of the game.
But Gus, would you not say a large part of the increased popularity of Formula One in the last decade has been because of the Netflix series Drive to Survive? And rugby tried its own version of that, and it didn't seem to make much of a difference.
Now, I don't know, you know, guys, but I have a media company of a lot of people that I run in South America. Okay, so and I did the Messi documentary. I did the Di Maria documentary that was released 3 weeks ago. The second best film scene. I recommend you to watch it. I'm not selling you anything, but I tell you that I understand that how the script was done for Six Nations. It was just a script of the old way of how we worked rugby. And we just did, it's a wrong script. Again. And there are many things that we can discuss, that they didn't open the changing rooms properly, that everything was secured. So really, you watch it, it doesn't, as a rugby guy, it's just a Six Nations old way of watching the sport. It's just simple as that. I loved it. Because I love it. I love the Six Nations. I've been brought into that, the Wales of the 70s. I love it. 101 tries. Yeah, that's not the case of my nephew and his. They don't care about, they want to see something different, something that's emotional, engaging, emotional with them. And that's not to do only with what happened on a rock. And that's where the opportunity, where the platforms give you that luxury of bringing you that emotional connection to men and women, and mainly to women, that hasn't been achieved. By a mile, lost opportunity.
Would your nephew, do you think, have been entertained by what happened between England and Australia at Twickenham? Because that was incredible, wasn't it, the last few minutes of that game?
Yeah, part of it was really good, but because of the cliffhanger, again, I don't want to bring you into the movie thing, but that's my trade at the moment, so, and energy. But if you look at how a film is being, and how obsessed Disney and Netflix and Amazon, it's about the cliffhanger. And it's how you keep there after 3 minutes. That's all it is. And then you carry on, and then you watch the first chapter, and then you if it's very good, Game of Thrones, you watch the whole 123 million chapters and you're hooked, okay? The cliffhanger of rugby at the moment is distressed. It's so broken that only some games bring you that cliffhanger all the time. And you cannot leave it to just, oh, maybe it happens in Twickenham because of this or that. It's because the game should have it constantly. And that's in the speed of the game and how people have that reaction to the cliffhanger being constantly there. If it's not there, you lose the opportunity on a live window that is an 80-minute game.
And you don't have those cliffhangers enough if you don't have these teams playing against each other who are of equal standard, and there's jeopardy in the outcome. It's funny because we're talking about three separate things that are all connected. We're talking about competition structures, we're talking about the laws, and we're talking about the governance of the sport. And they're all interlinked. If you could fix the governance, you'd be able to change the laws quickly. And then you'd be able to change the structures, and maybe the annual calendar is the...
100%. Again, you just mentioned it very well. A script that has the components to make it happen. Okay, if you're playing something, if you're qualifying, look again, Formula One. Every qualifier of soccer, every game is played with a cliffhanger situation. Or you go down, you don't make it for the World Cup, or you lose the opportunity, or you haven't qualified for the race, you have qualified too. So they keep you the whole weekend, not 80 minutes, the whole weekend with 70 turns. That it's again, I find it very boring. But you're there watching. It's amazing. I go and say, well, I'm watching. Why? Because they bring me into this. Oh, and he has points. He hasn't. He's going to lose petrol. Their tires are gone. We don't have that. We just miraculously wait for a friendly to turn up good. And you pay 100 quid to go and see it. That is not great. So if you pay a lot and you don't get that, then you get frustrated as well. And you don't take young kids because it's too expensive for the fan engagement. And then, so everything has to do with everything.
That's why I hope you get elected.
I won't, don't worry.
Do you know already you don't have the votes?
I don't know. I promise you, I haven't. Today I had the first meeting, and again, you don't know me well, but I'm very, straightforward. I would never trade my ethics into this. I didn't do it last time and I lost, and I'm not going to change. I didn't, and this was from my playing career, and that's why I had so good relationship with a lot of Irish legends, because we really went, even we really went through it, and Ireland we had a massive clash between us. It was always fair. It was a straight bat, and that's why I go in today and I see Brian or I see Peter or whoever I played against, we went straight in. No, and it's the same for me in rugby. For me, it has to be a straight in, but there's no bullshit, no cop. And I'm not being naive. That's what it takes. I won't go to Ireland and beg them to join O'Driscoll to vote for me because I'm going to give them something back. If you think that the game is better, you should elect. If not, guys, Ireland, carry on blocking me. That's fine. I'm fine with it. I'm going to be happy with it.
Do you have a view on who should get elected president this time?
Not yet. I haven't met the yet. I'm meeting Brett, that a good friend that I'm going to see him. I haven't seen any plan yet, to be honest. There's no plan at the moment on the table. So so I will probably have a meeting later. Yes, that's the worrying part. Yes,
correct. A bit mad, isn't it? So we're recording this on Wednesday.
Me, that's why I'm not running. I was running, I had a plan. We didn't talk about it, but I can tell you we had a fan engagement plan that had platforms, a digital game. That was technology. Then the competition structure and the loss. So, and the growth. It has had everything. Didn't say that it was going to be achievable, but at least it was a plan. Clearly that was blocked by the conservatism and rugby. And 5 years later, we're in a worse place because now we polarized the whole thing again. So now it's the Latin quarter, and apparently, and there's the Anglo-Saxon way of seeing things. And that's sad. We went back 20 years in politics.
Great having you with us, Gus. Thanks a million for talking to us. Cheers.
Thank you, guys.
This is Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.